Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to the Sword of Truth podcast, the alcohol-fueled chapter-by-chapter reread of the Sword of Truth series with a token amount of craft brew on the side. It seems like maybe it wouldn't be enough. Turns out, it's plenty.
Yeah, just enough.
Mm-hmm. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jade, and on this episode, we are lancing into Chapter 30 of Temple of the Winds.
I hate it. I hate that word. But oh. There's no other alternative that's going to be any better than that,
yeah,
really.
I know. You were just thrilled that was part of the intro today.
So much. So gross.
Hmm.
This chapter contains things that I have chosen to not watch on the internet because it is so bad.
To be fair, that's one of those things, though, that once you do end up stumbling on, you like... You try to click away, but sometimes you can't.
Yeah, it's too late. Then it just stays with you forever,
yeah,
and
yeah.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
Nightmare fuel.
Yep. So, do you want to just get into the super happy, cheery episode that we have for everyone today?
I guess little pre-warning. A lot of child death.
Mm-hmm.
So, just be warned. We're going to make light of a lot, or we're going to try to make it as light as we can, I guess you could say. But really, it's quite awful, everything in this chapter. So I just wanted to say that ahead of time in case maybe that's something that might upset you. But yeah, so here we go.
Yeah, here we go. We're on an adventure into child death. Anyways, okay, so... They leave Kip and Yannick's house after Richard slams Nadine around and reassures Kaylin in the last episode. And they go see Mark. Mark is the first boy that they are going to check up on that is from the Jala game. And he's actually fine. Nothing wrong with him at all. It worried Mark's mom to see them because she's like, oh, what the fuck are you all doing here? But Richard was relieved when they left because he was like, this is more proof that Jigang wasn't involved. There's not another kid that's sick. So it's not like maybe Kip caught it from another kid before we thought or something. Like,
yeah, maybe Jigang... it's not as bad as we thought it was because this boy is fine.
Yeah.
It kind of has his hope restored a little bit.
Yes. They told him, you know, the family to let them know if anything happens and then they take off.
Cool.
Yeah.
The king just dropped by today.
Yeah.
He's just like, y'all good? Cool. Okay. Let us know. That's a nice Lord Rawl.
Hey, we could use with a little bit of pocket chain. You could give us a little bit of cash.
Or... This goes back to what we were talking about the general public's perception of the Lord Rawl. Like, I didn't know he was making dailies, just popping in and checking up on people.
On the children of
the city. That makes him amazing, yeah. Like, hey, y'all good? You got everything you need? All right, have a nice day.
We heard some kids were sick, you know?
Yeah.
Just checking.
I didn't realize you were taking a
drink. Yeah.
It's all good. Yeah.
So, the second boy that they go see, however, is Sydney. And he's been dead since this morning. So he was actually dead before Kip was actually dead.
Yeah, which means his case was worse.
Yeah.
Which introduces a whole bunch of questions, but we will forge ahead, I guess, on a lot of those.
By the time they saw the third boy that was in blankets at the Rio River's home, Richard's hopes have all, like, dropped right through the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, he knows. It's spreading. Yeah. It's not good.
Yeah, so however hopeful he was that maybe DeGang wasn't a part of it, it doesn't really matter, because this is the fucking plague and kids are dying.
Yeah, no real silver lining there.
No.
I mean, they were hoping that they wouldn't be faced with a worst case scenario. And if this thing wasn't spreading, then that would be the case. But now that he's seeing more people with it, it's becoming clear that it has already spread.
Yeah, it's not like Dreffin said, it wasn't one isolated case that they could get in front of now.
Right.
Bert is this third child, and he is super sick. But his extremities aren't black like Kip's were. And Nadine gives the mom herbs to smoke the house and fan on her son. When Richard asks if it'll help, Nadine's like, I don't know, but all I can do is try. Like, it's all I know how to do.
Yeah. That's pretty much the usual rundown for something like this. Smoke the house, you know, try and give him some herbs, make him comfortable, give him things that are in general good for him, I guess.
Yeah.
And just hope for the best.
I think it's also maybe of note just the perception of Nadine that we get in each chapter, how it shifts. Like in our last chapter, the last time we see her, it is Richard delivering a very, like, not subtle at all direct threat to her. Very negative connotation. Like, and then here we are, and she's back in her healer role, and she's doing stuff to help the mother, and all. She's, like, very sad about this whole situation. She's like, this is all I can do to help. It just makes her more of a person.
Yeah. Yeah, and I did notice that during this part, it was not Richard thinking and the reader being able to hear Richard's thoughts. This is the narrator who does say, and something a little bit later in the chapter too, that Nadine is a very, like, good and soothing person.
Yeah.
She has that air about her. But I thought it was distinct that it wasn't Richard having that thought. We're seeing her in a different light, but it's not through Richard and Kaylin's kind of lens right now. This is just... you know, Joe Blow, anybody else in the area would probably think something like this about Nadine had they not known the situation going on with her.
Yeah. But what it does is softens the reader's viewpoint of her, I think.
Yeah.
So that she's not necessarily such a pointy-edged villain in your eyes. It keeps trying to round her nasty edges out a little bit with that human buffer and be like, okay, yeah, you hate her, but
she is still a human being.
Yeah.
Look, she's done some shit, but she hasn't, no, she has crossed the line. She hasn't done anything like family destroying
yet. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Those kind of vibes.
Yeah.
It's not there. So let's, you know, we're not going to kick her out and make her die or anything like that, but still.
It is serving to keep your feelings about her very complicated, so that anything that does end up happening to her, you, as of right now, don't know really how you're going to feel about it. So, yeah, I just thought that was worth
noting. Choose your own adventure, if you like.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, Dreff is having the Mord Sith hold Bert down.
They're hurling Bert?
Yeah. They're holding him down. Like, his head and his body down to the bed. And then he takes his long knife and lances the swelling at the side of the boy's throat.
No, it's so bad.
Yeah. I'm not even describing it as in-depth as the book did.
No.
It went in there pretty
good. I would
good.
Thank you not to.
Yeah.
This, I hate this. I hate this so much.
Yeah.
Not only is it happening to a child, which is upsetting.
Kid screaming his head off.
Screaming. Yeah. Richard is uncomfortable here. He wants to be able to pull his sword and fight the bad guy. This is not something you can do that to. So he's just very, very uncomfortable. And like I had mentioned earlier, there are videos online of people poking and popping and I just can't. There's no way.
Yeah, no, and I totally get that. And I just, the other thing is that the
I'm sorry, I want to add, I know this is necessary and this is the way that this sort of thing was helped during the time. So I'm not trying to say it was, you know, senseless that this was done. I just think it's really, really gross. That's all.
Yeah. No, I understand that. but I think the whole situation is also on a whole different level of uncomfortable because he's lancing this child's neck. I don't know if I have given shots to children. Okay. I've also given shots to dogs, small dogs, you know, and it is not easy to poke something with a sharp object in the place you want to when they are scared.
Oh, yeah. Like, when it does not want to be poked by said sharp thing.
Yeah.
Right.
This hurts. And no matter how much you convince a child or an animal, they don't want you to do that. So, like, it's very difficult. And wrestling a small kid to get a shot is one thing. Wrestling a kid to fucking lance his neck open, I feel like, is a whole other thing. So this was not fun. And on top of that, there's the plague issue and the issue that you don't want to get close to people with the plague in the first place. And these Mord Sith are leaning on this child. And then the pus and the blood is going everywhere. And he's like mopping it all up. It's all like right there.
Oh,
and I just feel
mopping.
Like, yeah, mopping. And
why?
I just feel like we know that like we've come a very long way as far as hygiene and like sanitation and all of that goes. And in these times, it was not there. And it just, the combination of the struggling child and the infection, plague, breath everywhere is just a lot.
Yeah, it's very hard to deal with.
But he explains that he's trying to bring the infection to a head and drain it. Sometimes people can recover in this way from the plague, which he has described a few times. Richard keeps asking questions that I feel like I think I read it.
Kind of been covered
lesson.
Already.
Yeah, like,
I mean, this seems pretty basic. The idea is to let the bad stuff out, right? So that it doesn't build up in the body, as gross as it is. But then that way, his body can deal with fighting less of the infection or the sick or whatever it is, and hopefully get better.
Yeah, yeah. It makes sense. It's not like bloodletting, which is, you know, more of an insane type
right,
theory.
No, this is more like, you know,
you're getting infection
out. Yeah, you're getting the infection out, sealing that up, and then putting medicine in.
There's the issue, is that traditional medicine in this time is not like medicine now, where if we got infection out and then you took like a good fucking antibiotic and kept the wound clean, you're looking pretty good. They can't keep the wound clean or have the same level of antibiotics in this time, but there's still a chance your body will fight it. But yes. I know that this is all new, and it's for Richard's benefit and for our benefit that this is all being described the way it is, but Richard just keeps asking these questions, and I'm like, dude, he said that. Come on. Why are you asking these questions in front of the families while it's happening?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not bad for everybody to have the information, but at the same time, let the guy concentrate and do it. He's got a knife to a child.
He's mopping.
Let him do his thing.
All right, so feeling helpless, Richard is, you know, sitting there with Dref and Bert watching all of this happen, but he hears from behind him Nadine apologize to Caitlin. She's like, hey, I was just upset before. I saw people suffering, and I took it out on you, Caitlin. I'm sorry. Nothing could have been done. Even if you would have done what I said you would have done, it couldn't have been better.
Right.
And Caitlin doesn't respond. Richard knows that she probably didn't even give her a smile.
He didn't. Yeah, he didn't turn around to look. He's assuming Caitlin did not smile.
Yeah. But Richard knows that the apology wasn't even really for Caitlin in the first place. It was more for him That's why it was loud enough for him to hear across the fucking room.
Yeah.
This is just like a kid who's trying to be on their best behavior in front of mom and dad after they've gotten caught doing something. And they're like, see, did you see my room super clean? Did you see me compliment my brother and tell him that he did a really good job on his test yesterday? Like, yeah, it's just a performative.
Yeah, she's showing up. She's trying to make sure that Richard knows that she's going to play the game, right? The fact that he slammed her head against the wall repeatedly has not stopped her game. And I think Richard seeing her do this would obviously piss him off. But from Kaylin's point of view, maybe Nadine is just sorry and just wants to apologize and smooth things over. Or if you're cynical, maybe she's just smoothing things over so she can get a better position and attack. You know what I mean?
I think Kaylin knows that Richard said something to her. So it's not genuinely coming from, you know, a place of remorse.
I don't know why. I know this was immediate, right? But if I was Richard, you talk to Nadine, then you talk to Kaylin, you let Kaylin know exactly what happened in that conversation.
Yeah. I mean, I would have questions. I mean, at that point, I feel like she knew that Richard wasn't taking Nadine to a back alley to go make out. But I feel like there still warrants a conversation like, hey, what exactly did happen when you guys went back there? Especially since she was still talking shit about Kaylin while they were back there. At the very least, he should be like, yeah, that bitch don't like you.
No,
and
not
I
at all.
Know that she doesn't like you. But yeah, no, this is just Nadine trying to be performative and be like, hey, yeah, see, you want Kaylin? I'll pretend like I'm okay with it for right now.
Puck is here now.
Yeah, he just pushed his ass right through you, didn't he?
There's a microphone. I'll just get that out of the way.
And he didn't even stop at you. You just like...
No, right through everything to Jade's lap where he likes to be.
Hi, babe. This is where he belongs. All right, so after leaving Bert's home, they are then led to Darby Anderson's home. All these places are described much less nicely than a home would be described. They're talked about like hovels more like.
Yeah, the area in which these people live with their family.
Yeah, I'm not going to describe them that way. It's a home. His whole family lives there. Darby, two sisters, mom, dad, grandparents, and aunt all live above their shop. Sorry, the cat just freaked out. I think you just noticed the lava lamp was on. So Darby's dad, Clive, and Grandpa Erling see them coming and come on out. And they're like, hey, I didn't realize you were coming. They're a little flustered. They were like, sorry, we don't have tea or anything. And Richard's like, hey, it's cool, man. We just came because we were concerned about Darby. Don't worry.
Just like the last family. Dude, I would have cleaned up.
Yeah.
If I had known the fucking Lord Rawl was going to be in my home today, I would have at least swept or something.
Seriously. I don't even want my friends to see my house like this. And you're right. Oh, goddamn. Well, they're like, okay, so what did Darby do? What's the problem? And he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay, don't get mad.
What
he's
did fine. He do wrong? Yeah.
He didn't do anything bad.
That would have been my dad.
Yeah.
When the cops show up. Hey, we need to talk to Nate. What did he do?
Yeah. That real slow turn and look.
I was here the whole time. I didn't do nothing. You tell him.
So Richard lets them know about the sick boy and that the two and about the two who have died. Darby is shocked at the death of his teammates, and Yannick's traumatized little ass is still there.
Yeah.
He's the one that has to say that his brother died. I felt like that was a little, I don't know. I was like, they asked who died, and instead of Richard immediately being like, Yannick's brother here and somebody else, they all turn to Yannick and look at him, and he's like, Kip? It's so sad. And Richard is like, yeah, Sydney also died, but Dreff here, he's a healer, so that's why we're just checking in on everybody, okay? So it's all good. You know, no
help
big deal.
Help is on the way. We're here to help and make it better.
Couldn't help either of them, but...
Well, that's why we're here. It was too late for them, so
just checking in. How you doing? Grandpa Erling invites them into the shop and asks, what's making all these kids sick? What's going on? And Richard cuts right to the chase. He's like, it's the plague, dude. And I'm happy that Darby is good. So, cool, right? We're on our way.
Well, if that's all here, I guess I should be going.
But hearing that it is the plague, both Clive and Erling freak out, which was interesting. They had heard that the kids had died. They'd heard the kids were sick. And it wasn't until the word plague was said that both of them were like, fuck the girls.
Oh, what?
His daughters are sick.
Oh, so wait. So the daughters are sick before they show up and start talking about sick people and children dying. No mention of the daughters whatsoever.
Nope.
And then they say it's the plague. And then it's like, oh, no.
Yeah. Then they're like, oh, fuck, our kids are sick.
So they don't care if the daughters are sick. They don't want them to die necessarily, but they're not as concerned with the girls.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just they didn't even come to their brains when they were talking about the boys that are dying and sick. But then they're like, plague. And they're like, oh, fuck, that could be our girls.
Well, the
boys
are going to grow up to be Ja La players and hopefully make lots of money
gotta
for the family.
Focus on them.
The girls, they just have to grow up and marry a man pretty much, right?
It make meat pies.
And make meat pies?
Which is what...
Sweetbreads?
Yeah, which is what the women are doing. Clive runs upstairs and then he stops and he's like, Drefin, will you come see my daughters? Which seems... like it was a non-needed step.
They look pretty rough, but I don't know. You can take a look if you want to.
They all follow him.
Seriously, you don't have to, though, if you don't want to.
The women in the kitchen are surprised, but glad to see them all coming through the door. Because, again, they were not planning on it. But they're just like, we'll have meat pies in about 20 minutes, I guess.
Dinner's about ready, so hurry up.
On the way back to the girls' room, Giraffe asked Hattie how they're doing. She's like, Beth.
That's the mom.
Yeah, that's the mom. I should have mentioned that.
That's
I have that in little parentheses.
But... I need it to keep everybody straight.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. She says,
Hattie mom, got it.
Hattie mom. She says, Beth, the older daughter, has a headache.
OD.
Since yesterday, and she threw up earlier. But that's nothing too weird. That's normal kid stuff. And she gave her some tea to help. And maybe this is why they weren't worried right away. Because they're just like, headache. Chucking. Maybe she ate something she didn't like.
It's beyond head cold, right? It's not just stuffy and headache, right? Headache normally comes up early, but then headache and throwing up is, I would say, an elevated sickness, but still nothing to necessarily freak out over.
Especially with kids, because you never know.
Right.
They could have eaten something or not eaten something.
They ate too many crayons, and, you know, hey, it happens.
Yeah.
I don't know why your vomit was blue, but...
Whatever. The younger girl, she's not so sick. She's just a little out of sorts. Her mom thinks it's probably just her looking for sympathy and tea like her older sister, because everybody's like babying the older sister.
Gotta get that honey tea.
Yeah, so she wants attention and the sweetness, so she's trying to act sick like her sister. She does have these weird round sores on her legs, but whatever. And Dref like misses a step at this point.
Which is never good.
It's not good when the healer gets stopped up by it. The mom doesn't seem to notice. But I also think it's like the one daughter, yes, she has more immediate discomfort signs, right? But your daughter has sores on her legs.
Strange sores from nowhere.
Yeah, on her thighs.
Too. Yeah.
We didn't know this at this point, but like they're on her thighs. I would be concerned. I'd be like, I don't know what's going on with her legs, but hopefully she keeps up.
Well, and you like, I mean, I guess where my head goes is you have marks on your daughter's thighs. If it's caused from a sickness, then you should be concerned. But really, if it's caused from anything else,
you should be concerned.
You should be concerned.
Yeah.
100%. Weird round marks, kind of like fingerprints. Who is touching your daughter's thighs that forcefully?
Yeah. No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like before it gets to the point where you know you're talking about a sickness.
Yeah. Is it a burn?
But
is it, you know what?
Weird marks on your children should be looked at thoroughly and addressed.
Yes.
I guess is where I'm coming from.
Well, you know, before we address this any further, I feel like maybe we should address the beer in the room.
Okay. The weird elephant beer in the room.
Yes. yeah. Here, I'll give it to you.
Excuse. All right. Well, today we've got Murky Christmas from Austin Brothers Beer Company. This beer is, it's written somewhere on the can. This is a New England style India Pale Ale, clocking in at 7.2%.
Wow.
Yeah. And I got it because people have been talking a lot about how inappropriately early Christmas stuff has been coming out. And so this beer kind of felt like it was, because it's an IPA, right? It's a summer type beer.
Yeah.
But then it's got Christmas stuff on it. It's got actually all the different beers that Austin Brothers makes are on the Christmas tree as decorations, which is actually kind of awesome. And then there's cases and six packs underneath the tree like presents. But so I thought, because it is totally still too early for Christmas, but we need a little Christmas because we are talking about child death, that this would be a fantastic beer to have. And it's strong, so that's useful.
Yes, that is useful. Especially when it's an IPA.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, there's no description of the flavor or anything about it on there because it doesn't need one because it's an IPA.
You say that with disdain in your voice. I think that it is a fine IPA. And, you know, we've talked about Austin Brothers before. We do enjoy quite a few of their beers, but I kind of feel like this one is a little like nondescript. Like exactly that. Like it's think of an IPA. That's kind of how it tastes.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's not horrible. I'll drink it happily. But on, you know, let's see here. From a scale of 1 to 5 Christmas ornaments, I'm going to go 2.5 Christmas ornaments.
Mm. Yeah.
Just middle of the road. Don't love it. Don't hate it.
Yeah. Yeah. If I had to rate it against specifically other IPAs, so that it had a fair rating. That is what I would probably give it as well.
That's the most I feel like we're going to get from you. And I feel like that is all anybody could ask.
I agree. So we're going to get another beer. I will probably get a different beer.
I'll finish this one.
And we'll be back right after this.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we're back. Hi. Nice to see you.
How you doing?
Yeah.
How you been?
I hope the break was as good for you as it was for me. Anyways, Beth has a fever and a wet cough. But Dref basically ignores her as they enter the room. He goes straight over to Lily as she's hanging out with her rag doll.
Yeah, totally ignore the one that you figure that he'd want to see and go over to the one that doesn't seem that bad.
Yeah, the one that you would assume also is more contagious. You know, you'd assume that's more of a problem because she's coughing, she has a headache.
Yeah, but this is also past or post deer in headlights moment for Dref when he hears about the tokens.
Yes, right. Also, I just want to say, Lily is a special, like, Jack, our son, now has a friend named Lily, so every time I hear the name, I'm aw.
Yeah. She's gonna be fine.
You're gonna be fine. Nadine, Hattie, and the aunt all go over and fuss over Beth, while Richard and Kaylin follow Dref over to Lily. Kaylin starts chatting with Lily to try and keep her from being freaked out by the men who are standing over her, all creepy-like.
Yeah, trying to be a calming presence.
Yes.
Plus, we know Kaylin ain't exactly Dreffin's biggest fan. So if she's got some weird feels about Dreffin, she is going to be all over this little girl, like, as a protectant mother.
Mother figure, yes.
Yeah.
So as she's chatting with him, Dref is like, or her, Dref is like, hey, Lily, can you show me your doll's sores? So she flips her doll upside down and shows him spots on the inside of its thighs. She says they hurt when she touches them.
So this is a way to be like, it depersonalizes it for the little girl.
Yeah.
So it's not so big and scary. Like, it's what they do after kids who have been abused and stuff. They're like, show me on the doll.
Yeah.
That way it's not you, and it's easier for them to just give out that information.
Yeah. Talk about it.
Yeah.
More freely. Yeah. I did think it was interesting that the doll had spots on the inside of the thighs. I'm guessing maybe the mom or the girl drew them there, but it's not mentioned. And I don't know. We've seen magic dolls.
Yeah, we have seen magic dolls.
I'm assuming it's not. I just, you know, I...
Probably she just wants the doll to be like her.
Yeah, so it's probably just... I wonder who did that.
Unless the doll got them first, and then hers showed up.
Yeah, some magic
shit. And
it's
some sort of weird-ass voodoo doll.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was like, what?
Initially, I want to say burn the doll, but then no, because apparently it's working, so don't do that. Make the doll very comfortable.
Yes.
Let's erase the little marks.
Do whatever the doll wants.
I don't know how to put this, guys, but I think we better listen to that doll.
Dref is like, hey, that's really too bad about your doll, but I think she'll be okay soon. And then he puts a hand on Kaylin's waist and crouches with her, which I don't... He says, Kaylin's eyes aren't too good. Yeah, I don't know. The whole thing, I was just weirded out about it.
No, there's 103 things he could have done other than touch her at all.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of leaning towards a Keanu Reeves move, because you are trying to be reassuring to the child. We are friends, right? We're close. The Lily, she likes Kaylin.
Yeah.
And if Dreffin's like, hey, I'm friends with Kaylin too, then maybe Lily is better with Dreffin, and I understand
yeah,
that. But I also
her,
feel
maybe
like
she's more comfortable.
Yeah, but maybe do a Keanu Reeves where you like, yeah, you put your arm around, but there's no actual contact.
Yeah. Or like,
you know
the
what
shoulder,
I mean?
Maybe a less intimate part
yeah,
of her
even
body.
That. But you've seen the pictures
yeah,
I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
He never touches anybody in any picture so that nobody can be like, yo, you touched me weird.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. You can see very clearly my hand is 3 inches away from you.
Yeah.
And I mean, hey, classy move.
Yeah.
He should have done something close to that.
Yeah. Or
this was a
he
little
could
weird.
Have even like crouched and said, hey, Kaylin, come down here. Kaylin can't see very well. Or, you know, like, I don't know. I know I'm picking at small parts, but it was just a small part that I was like, ugh. But he says her eyes aren't so good. So will Lily show her the sores on her legs? Ugh.
Don't, like.
I mean, I know.
You don't want to get
know,
close.
Yeah. Yeah.
One.
I don't know. But Kaylin lets the girl get comfortable with her first, letting her touch her pretty hair, and then she asks to see her ouches. She hikes her dress up to show several penny-sized spots on the inside of each thigh.
Oof.
And they were hard like calluses when Dref touches them.
So, like, how is it's just like a patch of toughened skin?
Yeah, I think so.
And
like,
they're
dark spots.
Dark how? Like, black? Or
think,
are they just...
I would think scab to black. Somewhere in that range. They don't say black, so I'm assuming not black, but maybe dark brown. Like a scab.
I'm sorry. That's not funny. I Google searched plague tokens and just kind of crossed my fingers that I wouldn't see... And, like, Magic the Gathering stuff came up. So, not what I was going for.
Yeah, no.
But I guess
I was like,
good.
Why are you laughing at this super wonderful thing that we're talking about?
Yeah, no, I can't find. I don't know if my search history is just ruined because of that, but I cannot find what those would have looked like.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm guessing like hardened. So I would just be interested. Like nobody asked. I guess we find out a little bit later that they just kind of pop up, but nobody asks,
yeah.
Like, did they appear today Like, when did these show up? How did they first appear? Did they?
Yeah,
did
how
they,
long have they been there?
Yeah, did they show up looking hard and dark initially? Or did you have, like, a sore spot? Like, you know, maybe a little red, little swollen.
Been building for a little while.
Yeah.
Oh, if so, like, how long has it been doing
that? Yeah, did you pick at it? You know, what was the progression to get you to this place? But we don't really get into that at all.
Right.
But, I don't know.
Could be useful information.
Yeah, that's what... That's
just kind of feels like maybe it was left on the table a little bit. That's all.
Kaylin pulls down Lily's dress and tucks her back in. Dref says she's a good girl and her doll sores are going to be better by morning. And they all head downstairs. Clive had stayed upstairs with his wife and daughters, but Erling is there down in the basement and he's like, hey, do they have it? Which, just the fact that Clive stayed up with his daughters makes me feel like there was at least some type of dialogue up there that we were not privy to. Just something like, hey, you should stay here with them. They are very sick and or, yes, they have it. Stay with your family.
Some sort of confirmation there.
So Dref is like, yeah, they do. And the two of them talk about how they had both seen the plague before in their lives and they never wanted to see it again. I'm not going into that. It's just basically them both talking more about what we've already covered, is that it's been in other places before.
They've seen everything. They've seen the token version of the plague, and they've seen the one that Beth has to where, you know, it's bad, but if you get it out and then, like we said, add the medicine and fucking hope, then maybe she'll survive. But we know that the token one is not good.
Yeah, basically, I don't know if I get... I think I might get into it
Do
a
we
bit
get
later.
Into it? Okay. I'm sorry. I remembered it coming up.
Yeah.
But that's basically what this is. It's confirmation that these guys have seen this before.
Yeah, they have seen it. They kind of know what the course of this is going to be. So Erling wonders if there's anything they can do to help. They both go over, you know, all the maybe possible options like smoke and warming or cooling the sick.
All the usual go-tos.
Yeah, you can either sweat it out or you can try to, you know, freeze it out. Nothing's sure to help, but it couldn't hurt because we don't know. Like, unless it looks like it's starting to bother them, try it.
Yeah, I mean, hey, it's worth a shot, especially if it's something that won't hurt.
Right.
You know, like drinking water.
Yeah.
Whenever you're sick, people are like, well, make sure you're drinking lots of water. And you're like, yeah, no, it's not medicine, but... Like, yeah, it's good for your body.
Yeah. Take a hot steam bath. See if that helps. If it starts making you cough up your fucking brains, okay, maybe that's not the right route. Try a
Less
fucking,
of that.
Yeah, try an ice bath. That doesn't work. Let's try the next thing, you know? Erling hopes that the girls are spared. But then Dref drops a bomb about Lily having the tokens. And Erling almost drops to the floor, but is caught by Dref. Right before he does.
This dude was totally caught off guard by that.
Yeah.
And he knows that that's worst case scenario too.
Yeah. So at this point, Darby enters the room and asks, what's wrong? What's going on? Grandpa looks a little upset.
Why does everybody look so freaked out and pale?
And Erling is just like, hey, I'm worried about the girls. And Darby then turns and offers help to Yannick and his dad if he needs anything. He's like, I'm sure my dad will let me take some time off of work to go help you and your family in this really rough time for you.
Which is very sweet.
Oh my God. And I mean, obviously.
Did that get you?
Yeah. Obviously, he doesn't know that his sisters are about to, or are in kind of the same boat. At least one of them. I mean, we don't know all of it yet, but just... The fact that he is so unaware and he's so willing to go help another kid and he doesn't know his family is going to be in that same boat. And
yeah.
I like Darby. Darby's a good one.
Darby's a good one.
Yeah.
You like Darby. Sweet little Darby.
Yeah. So Richard asks the boys if they saw anything strange at the game or any weird people. They spoke to a lot of soldiers, other people congratulated them, but nobody stood out. They're like, yeah, dude, we won the game. We were fucking celebrities for a minute. That, like, yeah, we talked to a lot of people, but I don't know who the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention to them. They were all paying attention to us.
Right. And,
like, I was in my moment right there. I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah. But one of them remembers that Kip was talking to a man and a woman. They were showing him something, but the kids don't know what because they were all like bent over. And again, they were in the middle of their moment. So they weren't really like, hey, what's Kip doing over there? They were just like, oh, Kip's over there. Cool, whatever. He vaguely described the two people, the woman and the man. And Darby says his sisters also spoke to these people. So the man was described vaguely as what could be Marlon. And the woman described as what vaguely could have been Sister Amelia.
Brown hair.
Yeah.
Rich is like hers?
Yeah. Like
Was
Nadine?
It this exact woman?
Yeah.
do we need to get rid of Nadine?
Fuck you, Nadine.
That was great. That's where I thought he was going. Like her hair? Like maybe exactly that length?
I think
dress seemed a little too tight. Yeah, that's sus. Nadine, you gotta go.
I think the point was that Caitlin has super long hair. Nadine has not quite as long hair, but longer hair than people in the Midlands. So that hair does stand out. And Amelia's hair wasn't as long as Caitlin's. So I think the point was just trying to be like, okay.
Like long hair, but shorter like hers.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. No, that makes sense.
Caitlin and Richard go to go question the girls at this point, and Dugang had said that he had watched the game through Marlon's eyes, so it's likely that these two people were Marlon and Amelia. We know that they were at the game.
Yep, that's so, confirmation.
Yes. Once they were in the room, Caitlin asks if the girls remember the game at all and the two people that they spoke to. You know, typical questions that were follow up.
Who were they? What did they say to you? What did they show you? Normal questions.
Yeah, Beth is struggling through coughing, but they tell him that after the two said
wow,
I'm struggling through talking. Drink some more beer. So she's struggling through coughing, but they tell Richard and Caitlin that the two people, who we're assuming is Marlon and Amelia, said Darby played really well, and then they showed them the pretty thing. It was a shiny thing in a box, which would have, I mean, even now, if you found me out in the wild somewhere, and you were like, hey, you want to check this out? And it was a shiny thing in a box? very hard for me.
Let's put it this way. If these two people were trying to get Jade into a van, Jade is gone. Oh, that's shiny. Fuck yeah. You got a whole bunch more in your garage? Well, let's take the van.
And candy
you would
and puppies?
Be gone in a heartbeat.
God. Oh my God. I'm not.
And candy and puppies? Oh yeah. Show over.
I'm not a difficult person to win over. Shiny shit, puppies, or candy. There we go. Anyways, Richard gets out of the two of them. The box is sort of the size of a large book, black as the night stone, and there was white sand with patterns drawn in it and colorful lights coming out of it.
Creepy. Kind of like It.
Yes. And
the dead lights.
Yeah. What I thought was interesting is that Caitlin goes, her brain goes to the night stone and Richard's brain goes to the boxes of Orden. And I just, we know that the boxes were still closed and all in a certain place the last time we saw them.
Right.
Nobody thinks that this might have been when opened. I guess probably because the world would be dead and, it's a big thing to open one. So I guess that's why it wasn't immediately like, is it a box of Orden?
Well, right now, where do we assume the boxes of Orden are?
In the Garden of Life, I believe.
Right. They're still there. At the beginning of book two, that's where they were, right? And Zed hung out there for just a little while longer.
Yeah.
And then that's the last place we saw him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which
cool.
is why I was like. Oh.
So it's shocking that one might be here because last we knew it was not supposed to fucking be here.
Yeah. But it doesn't seem like Richard thinks it is a box of Orden.
No.
Because he doesn't go, like his brain doesn't make that connection at all. He just says it sounds.
Creepy black box.
Like the color of the box of Orden. Yeah.
Okay.
And it, just interesting to me that also Caitlin saw the boxes of Orden and her brain also went to Nightstone as the color. Instead of being like black, like the other boxes of Orden.
Yeah. Like the thing that is obviously so much worse.
That is just like the size of a large book and like, fuck. Okay. But apparently it's not because the two main characters are not worried about it being a box of Orden.
It's just there to insignify that it's evil.
Yes.
Evil things.
Yes. They thanked the girls and told them to rest. Once out of the Anderson house, Richard pulls Dreff aside and is like, hey, what was all that about the tokens? Why was the old man so upset when he heard about them? What the fuck? And
well, he doesn't know. I don't know that he was that cheery, but hey, so what's going on with those tokens, buddy?
Yeah. What was up with that kid's weird legs? Tell me.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
So that obviously wasn't normal.
So, Dreff's like, okay.
I'm done.
People die from plague in different ways. He personally hasn't seen them all, as he's only been to plague small villages that the plague has visited.
Right.
But he has read of it happening in big cities. Some people, it comes on sudden. Fever, headaches, vomiting, seething. I think that was supposed to be searing. Searing back pain, which actually...
Seething back pain. Yeah, I mean, that works.
Which is actually kind of interesting, because this is kind of similar to COVID. You know, some people, when they got it, immediately,
yeah. Oh,
you're
yeah.
fucking sick.
Headaches, vomiting right away.
Yeah, and you might be fine in the end, but you got to ride that fucking wave, and it's going to get worse before it gets better.
This is what we were talking about earlier, about how some people it comes on strong and they get all of this stuff. They're out of their minds with agony until they die. And then maybe you will recover, which is Beth. And then some people feel just fucking fine. Right. Or no, actually, it's people like Kip. Right. That get the Black Death.
Yeah. Rotting.
And then, yeah. Their extremities rot.
Literally
things
rot
fall
off.
Ugh. And then Bert, who got the swelling in the neck, the pits, and like the groin area.
Yeah, that's the first we heard about the groin area.
Oof, yikes. And then that's until death too. But then you have the tokens, you feel fine, and all of a sudden you're dead.
Well, okay, with Bert, the swelling gets worse and worse and you're in pain till death, unless it gets brought to a head.
Oh, right.
And
that's
drained
right.
out, which is what they hope is going to happen with Bert. But we don't know.
Yeah, that's more draining. Get the bad stuff out. Get the good stuff in.
Yeah. But, ugh. Yeah, he's never seen the tokens before now, but people with them, like you said, they don't know they're sick, and then all of a sudden they wake up with them,
boom.
And soon after they're dead. They don't have a lot of pain, but they always die. If you have the tokens, you are donezo.
Which, it's almost like... bittersweet, right? Because you have the tokens, you're going to die. It's over for you. But you don't have to go through any of the suffering.
Yeah.
But it's sudden. So you also don't get time to come to terms with the fact that you're about to die. Because like once you see him, and we'll find this out from Dreffen here in a bit, but it's
yeah.
You don't have long.
Yeah. I think that's the thing. You know, that there's with the way that Bert and
Ernie,
Bert and Beth have it, they both may recover, but they're going to be miserable for a real long time. But they have hope, right?
Yeah,
you're just going to be fucking miserable. But the other two paths that it takes, the tokens or the rotting, you don't really have hope. It doesn't sound like you're just going to fucking die. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like. Personally, I would probably opt for the tokens so that there's like, I'm feeling great. And then a small period of time where I can party it up in the last 12 hours after I notice these fucking tokens.
I mean,
and then die.
As bad as it is, I think I'm with you. I mean, I want to say tokens all the way. I just don't want it to hurt. I don't want to suffer. If I'm going to get it and die from it, then just let it happen. Make it quick. You know what I mean?
And maybe it's just me also being like, I don't know that I have the emotional fortitude to want to, because I feel like if you are sick like that, you have to want to live a good amount in order to fight. Like, your body has to fight it, right? It's a physiological thing. But emotionally, you also have to have some will left to live to not give in to the weakness in your body.
Yeah.
And I just don't know that I have that emotional fortitude. Like, I feel like if I was in that much pain, I'd be like, fuck this. I don't want it.
I mean, I you know, it kind of comes back to what we talked about on our Patreon episode about assisted suicide.
Yeah.
And, you know, how much can you handle before it's too much?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why this way it's like the tokens, you don't have a choice. There's no possibility that you're going to live.
Yeah.
So, hey, at least it's quick and painless.
Yeah.
And that way you could argue nature does the same thing too.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad thing.
Okay. So,
but I digress.
Yeah. So records say that the worst plagues with the most widespread death were marked with the tokens.
Mm-hmm.
So this ain't good.
This means the shit is serious.
Yeah, this is not good to have, like, on the daybreak of the first sight of the plague to have the tokens, I'm guessing. Like,
day one. Ooh, oh, shit.
Oh, this is bad.
This is like when it starts to snow in fucking June. We are in trouble this winter. That doesn't happen. It was a shitty example, but
yeah. It's like, winter? What? Okay. So Lily is feeling out of sorts and her tokens are fully developed. Okay. See, I guess that was the thing. We didn't get any more context on this, but he says the phrase fully developed. So by the time they're calloused, that means they're fully developed. So there must be some type of progression of the sores.
It took some certain amount of time for it to get to this point, but now that he sees that it's at this point, it's reassurance to him giving the right diagnosis here
and saying she will be dead by midnight at the latest. More likely,
yikes,
he is cut off by screaming from inside the house.
Ugh.
It seems like Lily has passed
just like that.
Yeah,
man. She was like fine movie. Just moments ago, you know, she's got the marks on her legs, but overall she's okay, you know, just feeling a little off, and then dead.
Which,
just minutes later.
I also think it's real terrible that Richard and Caitlin are going around all these places, and right after they leave the room with all these children, they're dying.
Oh god. You went in there and they were fine.
Yeah.
Like three people died. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, they went and saw Kip. He died while they were in the room.
Drefin was just slitting their throats. It was fine. Wait. No, not like that. No, he was doing it a certain, damn it.
Yeah.
And now you're in the pit.
Yeah.
Good job.
Like everyone was in the room. See, that's the thing. Everyone's in the room.
I hadn't even considered that.
Everybody else leaves. Richard and Caitlin are in the room alone with these kids. And then all of a sudden they go downhill quick and
die. Angel of death type situation.
Yeah.
Well, they were sick anyways.
I would not want Richard Rawl in my
house
right
thing,
now.
Yeah.
No. Caitlin starts crying about him killing children, and Dref asks, what the fuck? So Richard explains. He thinks that the kids are sick because a Witcherd?
Is that what he is? You're a Witcherd, Witcherd. Damn it, that's hard to say.
Yeah,
Richard.
Wizard and a sorceress went to the game and used magic to start the plague. Dref thinks that it is impossible since it takes longer than that for people to get sick. We've talked about it, the 14 to 20 day incubation window.
But the tokens.
Yeah.
But the tokens. And so we know that it's been a minute since these people have been infected.
But magic, Nate. That's the other thing.
But magic.
It may not. Yeah. It may not have been 14 to 20 days. This incubation period may have been shorter because magic.
Because magic.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that the magic could have been used to escalate the sickness.
Yes.
At a faster rate than normal. So now it's already like to the point where people are dying.
Yes.
Even if it hasn't actually been a couple of weeks. Because when was the game that we went?
Days.
This was days ago.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I guess I was thinking that it was maybe a week or two ago already. But maybe that's just because we were talking about the incubation type period. But yeah, so like 3 days. This has already progressed to something that I'm assuming would happen after weeks.
Yeah, it seems
months,
like
I have no idea.
It seems like Kip and his sisters, at the very least, we don't know about Sydney or Bert if they actually talked to the wizard or the sorceress. But it seems like Kip,
the stranger danger.
Yeah,
listeners,
exactly.
That's what we learned today. Stranger danger.
But Kip and the sisters who did look in the box seem to have been infected at like, you know, a point where instead of it being like 12, 14 days out, they are like 12, 14 days to, you know, 20
advanced
days into this. Right. Like they were infected at
28 days later?
Yeah.
Another zombie?
Yeah. Something along the, I don't know how to describe it, but you know what I mean? Like they got the sickness
now
farther in.
So, okay, so it's being magically advanced.
Yes.
Does that mean that they hear Lily scream, poor, poor Lily, aww, whom we love?
Yeah.
Does that mean that they scream inside the house because Lily has changed into a zombie and is trying to eat Bert's brains?
Maybe. Bert doesn't live in this house.
No, that's right. I'm sorry. I got my people mixed up. Hattie Mom. I remember that.
Yes. Hattie is Mom.
Lily is now a zombie, and they got to take care of that situation.
They did not steal
Bert.
We're
not there for that.
Bert is still healing in his house from his neck wound.
Bert is... Oh.
Possible groin wound? I don't know if he had more than one drainage.
I also want to add right here, just real quick before we tie up this chapter, the neck wound situation. People who have read the entire Sword of Truth series all the way to the end know of a scene where... I don't even want to say who. Somebody has something done to their neck, and it lasts way longer than I ever wanted it to. I wanted to nod to that without spoiling anything, because holy shit. But this, it gives me the same heebie-jeebies as that.
The thing that upset you a whole bunch.
Yeah, I literally stopped reading and had to tell you about it, because it fucked me up so much. So I think I was brave during this episode today.
I can't wait.
As much as I went.
I can't wait. That's going to be a long ways in the future, but.
Okay, but I'm sorry. We can move on now.
But Richard also tells Dreff about the wizard being the one who hurt Kara in the beginning, and he left that prophecy on the wall about the red moon and a firestorm. And he was like, "You said firestorm."
You just said the thing.
You remember? Yeah, this firestorm. And that leaves everybody thinking about the rest of the prophecy, leaving this heavy chapter on that very, very heavy note.
Yeah. Now, I mean, it stands to reason that all of this stuff is definitely intertwined, right? He said the prophecy, the thing about the firestorm. Now, apparently, these same people, or at least related to the party, have been spreading a sickness, which is obviously going to be the firestorm. And so everything is starting to come to a head according to this prophecy. And if you're Richard right now, you're freaking out because parts are starting to slip into place. Before, when it was totally abstract and you're like, no, that doesn't even make sense. Now you're like 80% of this makes sense.
Yeah.
I should be worried.
Well, yeah, and also the dead child.
Well, yeah, obviously you should be worried. There are already dead children.
Well, no, I'm saying that the zombie kid that spoke.
Yeah,
in his
dead
face.
Zombie children. Like, you just wait. Next chapter, chapter 31, a horde of dead kids comes back to attack the city.
Also, you and all your favorite guards and your fiance and your ex and everybody are also potentially infected with the plague now.
Oh, God. Could you imagine? So you're in your fucking castle. You've barred and locked the doors with the heavy steel bars. There is an army of zombies outside your door. It is coming to a head, and you are preparing yourself for battle. Richard delivers a speech to get the troops motivated, right? To raise morale. And you're like, all right. Now it's time to attack the zombies. And then, like, fucking one of the generals, like, sneezes. What the fuck was that? You're one of them. Get them out. Get them out.
Yeah, like that classic scene in the zombie movie when you realize that someone's been bitten and didn't tell you.
Well, they only bit me a little bit. It's fine, right? No,
fuck
dude.
You. Get out.
Well, that does it for us for today. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you enjoyed this and wanted to let us know, or if you wanted to let us know what you thought about this chapter, you can write a message in your journey books to podcastatt@gmail.com or follow us on any and all of our social medias at podcastatt. If you really enjoyed this show and you think maybe it brought some value to your day, then you could consider going to patreon.com/podcastatt and making a pledge there. You'll get access to all of our extra content on Patreon, and access to the Discord channel where we hang out there regularly on Sundays. Sundays is the day. And then also you get a bunch of extra perks depending on which tier you sign up for. If that's not your thing, we would really appreciate you subscribing, obviously, and rating, letting everybody know what you think about this show. A 5 is awesome. A 1 will be addressed immediately.
One way or another.
One way or another, adjustments will be made. But no, we really do appreciate every single one of you taking the time to listen to us every week. We love you, and we will see you real soon.
Bye!